Welcome to the Leo Roundtable Law Enforcement Talk Show. We're live from the Boss Hog Radio Studios in Plant City, Florida. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do from a law enforcement perspective. And let me go ahead and introduce our crew to you guys. If you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, and I know Andrew's kind of digging the music right now, but we've got Captain Brett Bartlett from Land O'Lakes, Florida. Thanks, Brett. Andrea Casal, somewhere up in the Lutz area, I'm thinking. Same state, Florida. So thanks, guys, for being on the show.
Also, a shout out to our sponsors, Arrow Precision, Galls, AUFire, GunLearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.live. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the free press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. And Ray Dietrich, RedVoiceMedia.com. We're streaming the 8 locations right now. Soon there'll be more. And out of those 8 locations, 3 belong to Red Voice Media. And those 3 Facebook pages alone have about 1 million followers, which is incredible. So thanks to Ray Dietrich and Red Voice Media for helping make that happen.
And look, our 2-week suspension from YouTube for our second strike within 90 days ends tomorrow. So I am thoroughly convinced that YouTube's is pushing us out the door, that they intend on giving us our third strike so that our channel will be permanently deleted. I see that as their intention because we're conservative law enforcement. So no great surprise. So if you're getting this or watching the show, don't plan on us coming back to YouTube for this kind of stuff. Go to rumble.com to our Leo Roundtable channel on Rumble. That's the place you need to go. And of course, we're on a ton of social media outlets, 20 podcast platforms, we're on 36 radio stations around the country right now, and we're live through the Boss Hog Radio Network. So a lot of great things going on. Also, Roku TV, Amazon Fire TV, we are on those two TV channels as well. So check out Leo Roundtable. Get that app going. Hey, guys. A good lineup. Got an interesting main topic today. They have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. So I'm glad that I've got you guys on the show today. And Brett, especially with this first one. But Andrea is the most recently retired person. So you may have an interesting twist on this. On Police One, it says reality check. Your department won't buy everything that you need. So where they're going in this article is that as cops, you can go to an agency just with the attitude on, hey, if they don't buy it for me, give it to me for free, I'm just not going to carry it. But they're basically saying that's really the wrong attitude to have, especially when it comes to safety. You can, you know, it's just too valuable. So it talks off by talking about budgets are measured in dollars, not equipment. Unless you are exceptionally lucky, your department will not or cannot provide you with everything that you need to do your job. And they say that you should not skimp on public safety equipment. And here's a few examples that the author's given us. He talks about plates and plate carriers. He's talking about hard rifle rated plates and carriers. So we're talking about not just I don't like to say bulletproof vest, but with armor, a ballistic vest, you know, it's not bulletproof, but they have that plate, that hard plate in the center in case someone tries to take you out with a rifle. They talk about there's so many ambushes now going on with law enforcement. The use of rifles is becoming more commonplace. And so those plate carriers in the front and also in the back become a lot more important. So if your agency doesn't get one, doesn't mean you shouldn't get one. And hey, even if there's a price involved, packs, he talks about bags and packs. This guy's talking about putting medical stuff in a clearly marked bag, breaching tools in another bag, extra magazines, OC, you know, the pepper spray, baton in another bag, and then vehicle unlocking tools in yet another bag, staying organized. I'm still in the habit of using bags. I love bags. So whether it's, you know, doing a PI thing or go bag, for just in case it hits the fan, you know, I love bags, especially when I was active. I carried about over 100 rounds of ammunition with me, even when I was off. I have a spare gun, ammo, and a bag with me everywhere I went. I mean, my wife and I are going out. I'm keeping that bag in the trunk in case I need it. Pouches. Generally, departments will provide a few basic pouches for OC, extra magazines, radios, and cuffs. But they say think about what else you should carry with a pouch. And talking about extra rifle magazines, a smaller version of your medical kit, multi-tools with wire cutters, a good blade, a seatbelt cutter, another handheld lighter, 2 or 3, chemical lights, a small binocular, glass breaking tools. Guys, we could be here all day. Training attire, talks about training and range pants. He used to get the cheap stuff that he would just throw away after he used, but they have some really good stuff now through Galls at galls.com/Leo and also, you know, 511 Tactical. So that's what we have. Captain Bartlett, you're a huge trainer. You're still involved in the action. What are your thoughts on this?
This is not a new topic, and it won't be a new topic in 10 years. It's always coming up. And here's the thing. If you want your own stuff, go buy your own stuff. You know, Chip, I spent a small fortune on equipment. I still spend a lot of money on equipment. Like you, I always carry around stuff with me just in case, because you don't need that stuff. Do you need it real badly? But if you don't like what the department's doing, well, quit. The door's always open. If you don't like it, just quit. Go do something else.
That's a good point. You know, of course, if I'm running a little low on ammo, I try to bring my Colombian wife with me because, you know, she's a pretty good scrapper. You know, these Spanish women are, and of course, now Andrea's got her mic open and she's Cuban. So I can, you know how these Cuban women are. So I can only imagine she probably just carries a switchblade in her back pocket or something. But what do you think, Andrea?
You got to do what you got to do. I think that, you know, I know that Brett's saying that this is nothing new. One thing when I finished with the academy, I was 22 years old. And a lot of these things I didn't think about at the time. And I think that, you know, this should definitely be a holdover topic. You know, tell me a scenario as to why I would want to use those things. I would have had a lot more things I had to learn by trial and error for some things. You know, you go on a call and you're like, man, I wish I really would have had that, you know. But I think that that's one of the things. One of the things that I would say for an agency, if they're not going to provide it, be a lot more likely to, you know, be more willing to approve it, get it through legal quickly, you know, if it's something that's reasonable, because a lot of these departments are slow to do that, or it's not a priority. I'm not saying that all are that way, but unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of people that are like, well, I put in that request a long time ago. You know, I want to buy this for myself, but I can't. So if people are willing to do that, push it through, you know, get it approved for them. But there are so many tools. I mean, seatbelt cutter, that was one of the things. I don't know how many times we had cars go into the river. Most places, you're not going to really think about that. In Florida, everybody should have a seatbelt cutter. Somebody might not tell you that, though, when you first get hired. But I know that it would have saved us on several calls, you know, especially early on in my career, just for somebody to have something like that. It just takes less time to, you know, cut the seatbelt than to try and, you know, force somebody out of a car. Anyway, I just think that this is a topic that should be touched on more so in holdover. Give a list as to why you might need these things. Make it, you know, so that people understand. These are tools that you need or that you might need. If you want them, get them. Organization is huge. Be careful. You want to make sure it's organized. If you put stuff in your passenger seat, make sure that it's secured, because the first accident or pursuit you get into, that stuff, they're all flying objects in your car. And you don't think about that. Nobody's going to tell you, watch out, your computer's going to come flying out of its tray and hit you, you know, when you're in a car accident, unless, you know, they've been through that.
Interesting.
You know, Chip, you can tell the age of an officer by how much stuff's in their trunk. The car. Brand new guy's got nothing. 10-year guy, it would take an archaeological dig to get to the bottom of it, right? They got a crew of people wiping stuff off and they're posting flags. Oh, there's the spare tire. There it is.
Now, are we talking junk?
No. I'm talking
junk,
about.
Are we talking about junk in the trunk, or are you talking about a trunk trunk? I mean, junk in the trunk. What are you talking about? What kind of trunk?
Those are two different topics. You have a different junk in the trunk when you leave, just so you know, because we all get older while in law enforcement. But I think Brett's completely correct. When you go to retire, all of that extra stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, but I don't want to throw it out because it was all stuff that you acquired. And there's a reason why you have it, whether it be, you know, a tool that you might need, whether it be knowledge, you know, for the job, like whatever it is, I have a lot of stuff still.
Yeah. And you know, Chip, 9 years out of retirement on Facebook, an ad comes up, a device to jam a door open. And I'm going, man, I got to have that. And I'm, what? Why? It's a neat device you can put on the door to keep it from closing behind you. If you're going in, you're sort of, oh, I got to get a couple of those. Oh, I'm just, you know, my mouth's getting all dry. You know, and I'm way out of the job, but I'm still looking for that cool stuff.
But, you know, it's great because you use it for all practical stuff. Like, I'm a MacGyver a car any day. Like, if the bumper's falling off and it's somebody, you know, you drive by somebody, you're like, I got this. Paper clips, you can tie that up. I mean, there are so many things. I'm like, all these tools that, you know, you can use it later on, you know, for other things in life. I've got so many tools that I would use at the school, you know, at my kids' school. I'm like, this is great. You know, this is a good idea for so many other things in life.
And, you know, Chip, everybody should have a bag in their police trunk. Including the stuff you talked about, a couple of little bottles of water, add some water in there, add a snack, something if you're going to be away from the car and out on a post, maybe out in the heat for a couple hours, you need to have something you can throw over your shoulder. Everything's in it. Off you go. A couple of spare mags, spare radio battery, whatever you need, phone battery, just so you can grab it and go. And that's everybody needs that in their car.
But even for like a medical emergency, if you have somebody who's a diabetic or something like that, and all of a sudden you need something quickly. I don't know how many times we had to run to the convenience store real quick because somebody was having a medical emergency. And, you know, as quickly as you could just take care of it if you have something in your car.
Yep.
Excellent. You know, great, great. You know, I know even with me, my police radio was always in my go bag that I carry with me when I was off duty. Just amazing. But, you know, I guess as cops, hopefully most of it, I know you guys are definitely, we're all on the same plan, but you want to be prepared. And you know what? There's no way you can be prepared for everything, but you want to be prepared for most things you can envision going down. So yeah, having that extra ammo, maybe a spare gun, the police radio in case you need it, all that stuff. I even had a mask because I work a lot of OC undercover stuff.
My biggest concern is not the event. It's me not being prepared for the event.
Exit. You're right. All right, guys, commercial break, but we'll be right back.
Time to talk about Gauls at Gauls.com/Leo. Gauls is the country's leading uniform clothing, equipment, and gear provider for law enforcement. And they have a variety of, a variety of tools and offerings. They have multi-tools and flashlights, duty boots, and tactical gear. They pretty much have everything for law enforcement except for guns and ammo. So if you haven't checked out the new Gauls lately, please go to Gauls.com/Leo and check them out. And notice that I said uniform programs. Even my former agency, the Tampa Police Department, they've got a Gauls office on the second floor lobby of Tampa Police Headquarters, and they're absolutely killing it. So Gauls.com/Leo. And look, it's not just for law enforcement anymore. Even if you have, imagine you guys may have a few friends who are the hose draggers, the firefighters, or maybe even military. They have stuff for everybody, and they have gift cards as well. So Gauls.com/Leo. Please go there. Take care of your friends. They'll be your new best friends, actually. Gauls.com/Leo. Go there and check them out. All right. So now we're introducing Aero Defense by Aero Precision at AeroPrecisionUSA.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. Yes, we're talking about long guns. So born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know they know what they're talking about. Aero Defense by Aero Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit AeroPrecisionUSA.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. Since 1994, they've quietly been leading the AR Builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with Solus Bolt Action. So stay tuned because the M4 E1 Pro and the Mod 4 handguards are getting ready to hit AeroPrecisionUSA.com later this year. The embodiments of duty rifle excellence and they're now being tailored to the civilian customer, which is you guys, and now you can get your hands on this primo stuff. In addition, their M5 AR-308 platform is a great sniper platform. That's nothing short of spectacular. So don't settle for less when you can have the best. Go to AeroPrecisionUSA.com today.
Let's talk about Medicare insurance options. There's over 80 options in just Hillsborough County alone. Now, the benefits can change annually. So how do you know that you're getting the benefits for your specific healthcare needs? The answer is simple. Contact MyMedicare.live or call area code 813-245-6656, especially if you're in the Tampa Bay area. Talk to James or Bobby. Meet with them in person. They'll save you money on your medication copays, find plans that your doctors accept, and get more of the benefits that you qualify for. So again, MyMedicare.live. All right, guys, welcome back to the Leo Roundtable Law Enforcement Talk Show. We're still live from the Boss Hog Radio Studios in Plant City, Florida. So if there's no more commentary on the article from Police One about bags and strike plates and all that stuff, and guys, well, when I think about guys doing that, I remember this guy named Cameron Green with the department that would go do extra training. He was a former Army Ranger, but he still put himself through training that on his own dime, got the coolest equipment, the coolest guns. And you know, we're talking about, you know, shooting guys, you know, from the moving vehicle thing or in moving cars, but he was doing that training decades ago. So, guys, don't spare the coin. It could mean your life. So I got another article it's on lawofficer.com. FDA revokes emergency approval for Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccine. So look, we're covering this because I'm not planning on going back to YouTube. So in YouTube, our last strike was on medical misinformation because what we said about COVID and the vaccine apparently was not in jiving with what the World Health Organization and the CDC were saying. But a lot of cops have got jammed up, lost their jobs in military for not taking the vaccine. So that's why I'm mentioning this particular thing. And look, those guys have been getting their jobs back. The Special Forces guys, I believe they won the lawsuit when the military tried to make them get the vax. But the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, revoked the emergency use authorization of the Johnson & Johnson COVID vax. Now, the revocation happened officially because the manufacturer requested that the FDA do that. But they said that basically that their supplies of the vaccine. They were old, expired, and there was no need for future ones. And so while they officially withdrew because of the because of this stuff in May of 2022, the FDA limited the use of the J&J COVID vaccine for some adults due to increased risk of blood clots. And then a year earlier, April of 2021, the FDA and the CDC temporarily put a pause on it after causes of thrombosis with a TTS occurred within a week or two of receiving the inoculation. And then also July of 2021, the FDA added the risk of the Guillain-Barré syndrome, CBS. It's a rare neurological disorder that can cause paralysis as a potential side effect of the J&J COVID vax after preliminary reports of GBS following vaccination had been recorded. So there have been things associated with it. Now, here's the last thing says the FDA should never have revoked the emergency approval, or I'm sorry, they should have done it long ago because first, there's no emergency, and second, J&J has an evidently unfavorable risk ratio, a risk-benefit ratio, according to German author and university professor Stefan Hahnberg. And he did this on Twitter. He goes, but then the agency would have had to admit it as a mistake, and this is an elegant way of getting it out. So those were his thoughts on this. So any commentary on that? If not, well, Brett, go ahead, Captain.
We're still talking about that?
We are.
That is so 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That is so 3 years ago. Yeah, you know, a lot of young people are dropping dead all of a sudden, and I don't know if there are any studies have been done, but they're concerned it might have to do with the COVID vaccine. I hope not, but boy, they pulled a fast one over on us, didn't they? Hopefully, they'll never get a chance to do that again.
Yeah, well, look, I try not to fall. Look, I took my mom down to get two shots, and you know she's 83 now, so you know I didn't did it. I'm a cancer survivor, and I got COVID twice, and it was a breeze. You know, I had no issues at all. So I try not to fault the people, but you know what? I guess the bad thing is that the misinformation we received that talked a lot of people into getting that vaccine. There are some people that had medical issues, and they were better off perhaps maybe getting, even with the risk factor from the vaccine, the unproven vaccine. And I get that. It's a personal decision, but just don't lie to us. I don't want to make decisions based on bad information, you know? So,
but they can't help themselves lying to us. These big pharmacy corporations, they can't help it. Even when telling the truth is easier, I think their first instinct is just to lie to us because maybe they think, well, we can't handle anything else. I'm so sick of those people, just tired of them. 3 years out, 3 years out from COVID, we just need to take that first guy, take him around back, whip his ass, and be done with it.
Hey, you know, Andrea, Police One is one of my sources for stories that I go to every day to see what's going on in the news. And it wasn't until the jabs happened that we started having a monumental amount of cops dying suddenly, no explanation, died suddenly. And I'm talking about guys in their 20s, 30s, 40s, young guys. It doesn't say they're dying. It just says died unexpectedly. And these guys are dropping like flies around the country. So look, I put two and two together, and now there are studies out. I think you subscribe to the COVID Coffee and COVID with the attorney Jeff Childress that wrote that. And that's just a very informative, extremely informative newsletter. So Coffee and COVID, I think it's at coffeeandcovid.com with attorney Jeff Childress. If people listening to the show want to get more information or be one of the sharpest people in the room involving this, you know, go to that website, sign up for that free newsletter. But Andrea?
Well, I think that it's funny because they say that, well, first of all, there's no emergency. Well, they made this such an emergency to the point where people were, you know, running to get this vaccine. And I think people felt that pressure. I mean, it was a family conversation in our house. Again, to each his own, people need to do, you know, what they need to do. Something didn't sit right from the beginning with me. And I know other people probably felt the other way, that they needed, you know, they needed to get the vaccine. But, you know, and looking at all of this stuff, it's so sad to me because the amount of people that I've seen with blood clots, personally, this is in my personal life. I'm not, you know, I know I would get kicked off of YouTube if I sit there and say this, but anyway, but the amount of people in my family, heart issues or blood clots or, you know, just different things like that, that all of a sudden you're like, what's that the cause of? You know, again, athletes dropping, you know, we've seen a lot of different things, you know, just on TV or news outlets of people passing away suddenly. And there has to be something to it. You know, nobody really wants to have that conversation because so many people did that. Do you really want to face that? Do you want to face that truth of what this vaccine that you put into your body might have done to you? That's scary. I mean, it's scary both routes, whether you got it, whether you didn't get it. I mean, we've all been in a position of, you know, very uncertain. And it's just not, it's not a fun situation to be in, but man, I don't know. It's a scary thing. And I'm not surprised that they're pulling this off. Remember, they had a bunch of, vaccines that weren't refrigerated that they said, oh, we got to get rid of those. Those aren't, you know, those aren't good. You know that they're giving those to some people, unfortunately. They don't want to throw that stuff out. You know, who got that? You know, it's kind of a crapshoot, you know?
Well, they've done studies where they have definitively stated about the correlation between the vaccine and some of these medical issues. So, and I read coffee and COVID almost every day. And I have relatives that have been affected, family and friends, even a panelist that have been affected adversely with blood clots and eye issues now and all kinds of stuff. So, but look, it's time for our next commercial break and then a new topic after that. So we'll be right back.
Are you struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or are you worried about the liability in case you get it wrong? Say hello to bluethegold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to bluethegold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, next week, crash investigations. So sign up at bluethegold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game, because frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. That's bluethegold.com. All right, so now we're going to be talking about AUFIRE at AUFIRE.com. It stands for Accuracy Under Fire. It's the gold standard in tactical simulation. And for the first time ever, agencies and LEOs can now safely simulate being hit by gunfire, knives, and other objects in their dynamic force-on-force scenario. So if you've ever wondered how your officers would react or wish you could train them in real-world situations, now you can, all while improving their decision-making, return fire accuracy, and life preservation skills thanks to AUFIRE.com.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Leo Roundtable Law Enforcement Talk Show. We're still live from the Boss Hog Radio Studios in Plant City, Florida. You know, during the commercial break, I saw that this is Butter, and it was typing something. And look, for our stream, we can see messages from all of our streamers, and we appreciate you guys, and we love our fan base, whether it's podcast, radio, streamers, social media, all of it. So thanks, guys. This is Butter, though, had a similar situation on YouTube. And this is Butter. It's a law enforcement video channel, was on YouTube, had some issues with YouTube, and ended up going to Rumble. And we joined Rumble over a year ago. So this is Butter. Just type that you know, we're back up on YouTube tomorrow, which is Friday. That's when our 2-week suspension is lifted. But we're not going to be back on YouTube. I'll be making an important announcement tomorrow about that, but you're not going to find our streams going to YouTube anymore. There's a reason why. I'll explain everything tomorrow. There's a strategy involved in this. But Rumble, I'm telling you, Rumble. We're also live on Twitter. We're at LinkedIn, Facebook. YouTube is not going to be the choice. And there's strategically, we'll tell you why tomorrow. There's a reason for that. You'll find out tomorrow. So anyhow, just bear with us, guys. If you guys want to find out how to watch our show, live show, delayed shows, every way that we've got it going on, go to leoroundtable.com, our website, the top header. You'll see a syndication tab. Click on that syndication tab and just say whether you want to watch, you know, you're looking for the radio stations that we have, the live, all of our live show outlets, all that stuff. It's all listed, links to everything. It's a great option for you guys. So, moving along.
As soon as we're back on YouTube, I want to say on one of our shows, COVID makes people pregnant with alien babies.
Yeah.
I just see how fast that works.
Well, that would be our third strike where they delete our channel then. So yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah,
that's common. You might as well enjoy it.
Yeah, it is. So all right. Make me laugh, Brett. You're always the funny one. All right. So Rumble.com, the channel. What channel could it possibly be at Rumble.com we're looking at? Yes, this is Butter, the best law enforcement video channel out there. Albuquerque officers shoot a shooting suspect after a short foot pursuit.
Hey, come here, police department. Come here. Show me your hands. Who's that?
I'm
fired. Oh, shit!
So yes, Albuquerque police, we've got the chief, Harold Medina, that's kind of given a play-by-play, you know, of what went down. So around 7:36 p.m., six rounds are fired and reported via ShotSpotter. and a 911 call or 911 call goes out, reported that they heard five to six shots in the area at the time. Officers respond about 7:41 p.m. Just a few minutes later, at 7:45, an additional shot spotter activation alerts to three shots being fired. And then at 7:46, like a minute later, officers reported they could hear additional shots being fired. So one block southeast of ShotSpotter activation and two blocks north of where the officers were initially dispatched, where the stuff is progressively moving. So Officer Alex Castellano, his lapel video, and Kevin Trullo can be seen moving something around in his hand. So Trullo's our bad guy, and Trullo's turning to face the officer. And then we have a Sergeant Francisco Hernandez. So his lapel video or his body-worn camera, there's an exchange of gunfire between our bad guy Trullo and the officers. And you can clearly hear it. So in the shooting, at least four shots are fired at the officers. Photos of the bullet, of the evidence, it shows the bullet holes in the wall in a home located behind where the officers were standing. So Trullo, he runs away after the shooting, and he went to his mother. Where do you go? You go to your mama's house, right? So Trullo's mom said that he came to her house with a gunshot wound to the chest, and that he had two guns, and he asked his mother if he could come inside, but she denies him access. Way to go, mom. So at the time, Trullo's mother said Trullo was homeless, suffering from schizophrenia, believed that people were recording him. So SWAT and canine officers are activated and a perimeter set up in the area. So at 9:54 p.m., officers, they locate him nearby, take him into custody, get him into immediate treatment for his wound, and a firearm is recovered, the same one they think was used in the shooting at the cops. And it was stolen the day before during a nearby residential burglary, which just backs us up by saying that you can prohibit guns all you want, but guess what? Bad guys are always going to be able to get a hold of guns. You're stupid and naive to think if you're going to affect anybody but law-abiding citizens on that. So that's the story. Captain Brett Bartlett, let's start us off.
Number one, just because you're schizophrenic doesn't mean people aren't recording you.
Wow, you had to go there, really? Now everybody's scratching their head.
I know. I'm glad you said it.
Yeah. All right. Well, first, all right. It's kind of an uneventful shooting. It's not uneventful for the officers, but first officer did the best he could. That second officer, I noticed he goes way wide. He goes way out in the roadway. I'd be hugging that wall best I could.
What if he had junk in the trunk? You talked about as you get older, he's an older officer. He's got junk in the trunk. He can't get close to the wall. He's got to go wide.
Chip, you interrupt me again. I'm kicking you off YouTube. That's all. It'll be your third strike. But what I liked at the very end, you could see this old grizzled staff sergeant or whatever his rank was coming up to the guys and saying, are you okay? We're fine. Everything's good. He's calming everybody. He's taking care of the situation. It was really, really good to see some leadership right at the very end.
All right. I'm scared to say anything now, Andrea. I might get muted.
No, I think it's great. It's good. Keep it up, guys. No, I have to say I did not like the cover, the lack thereof of the second officer. That really kind of watching this video, it's you know, I think a lot of people should see it. This is really what, you know, a lot of officers go to. You go to a call, you don't know where the shots are coming from. You know, something like that, the second officer has to take cover. He just seemed too wide open. I mean, it's hard to tell, easier to Monday morning quarterback it because, you know, we're just seeing what we see on the video. But it did look like he was kind of out there a little bit too much. Kind of made me a little bit nervous, especially with knowing that this guy, you know, we already know he had a firearm. So I didn't love that. But I'm actually happy that Brett pointed on the supervisor that came up on scene, where he's like, you know, just making sure everybody's good. You know, he kind of does a field check. You can kind of tell. He's like, okay, you hit, you know. So it was very nice to see that. I don't know, this video, like I said, I think everybody should kind of watch that. That's what officers go into. Like Brett said, there wasn't a whole lot to it, but that's a real call right there. You know, those are things, shot spotters, great. You know, shots are being fired, but you don't know where they're coming from. You know, it's kind of intense.
You know, how important is it, guys, to have a really good supervisor in situations like that, both during and before, to get you ready for stuff like this going down? How important is that?
That's huge. It's huge. That's, I mean, huge. Yeah. The leadership from the top all the way down, you know, is huge, but especially on your squad, when you're dealing with somebody day in and day out, you know, clearly we all know law enforcement is a stressful job. If you have a supervisor that's going to stress you out more, just functioning, going to a call, It can make or break you. I think having a good supervisor is huge. Somebody that's going to back you, somebody that you know what to expect, somebody that's not going to stab you in the back. You know, they're going to help train you. I mean, that's still your trainer, you know, on the street. So that your sergeant and your corporal, you know, for us, my corporal, I learned a lot from my corporals.
Yeah.
You agree, Brett?
I had 6 or 7 years on before I saw a lieutenant on the street. The only people I saw was my sergeant, my corporal, and the guys, the folks on the squad. That sergeant is the, unfortunately, the most underrated but critically important position. That sergeant is the future of a police department. And the department will rise or fall based on the leadership from the three stripes, period.
So the impact that a sergeant provides is like, that's like huge.
Well, there's nothing else, right? You know, where we came from, lieutenants, whatever. You know, I made lieutenant because I wanted to make captain. It was a horrible, horrible position. It just sucked. But I, you know, looking back, and I had a great career, so I'm not griping here, but man, being a sergeant, it was just the best. It was the best. You are it. You're omnipotent. You know, lieutenants come, captains go, but your sergeant, you remember that guy. And I remember the good and the bad, but I remember those people just like it was yesterday.
You know, there's a lot of, well, guys like Gene Strickland, I think about that were really great, gifted sergeants. But guys, who are your best supervisor that you remember? Who was your best? Do you remember, like, can you put a name with your best supervisor that you had throughout your whole career? Who was it?
Pete Ambrose.
Oh, Sergeant Pete Ambrose. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Just a great balance between being there when we needed him and leaving us alone. We didn't need him. He knew when he should show up. He never lost his temper. He was always very upbeat. He treated us right. We were his family. It was just to this day, I've got a picture on my wall. I don't know if you can see it, right? I'm doing this wrong. But anyway, just to the right of the screen, just to the right corner there, guy in the white shirt, that's our squad.
Right above the underwear hanging on the
No, I took that down.
Okay. Andrew, who was yours?
I had some phenomenal supervisors, but John Hocker. John Hocker was by far, that was my, he would have been like a second father to me. There's nobody like John Hocker, you know. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. That was a pretty good, you know, pretty good reenactment there. No, but John Hocker was, I learned a lot from him. You know, I hate to put it like a God type, you know, but you did not want to upset him. It's just, you didn't want to upset him. Daddy Hocker.
I love it. Well, Brett's doing his John
Hocker.
Okay? Yeah. Jimmy wants to know if you're okay. But look, commercial break, guys, and we're going to call EMS for Brett. We'll be right back. All right, guys, no matter how much you know about guns and ammunition, there's that knowledge gap that leaves you confused and missing the complete picture. GunLearn.com, they've taken the confusion out of learning. They've made it easy. GunLearn.com is the first, and it's the only company that offers a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like Captain Brett Bartlett here. Now, they provide citations from federal law and ATF rulings for every point taught to ensure accuracy. And their training, it's approved by major forensic organizations, by law enforcement agencies, and also firearm manufacturers. Since 1996, they've taught everything that LEOs, that's law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. Now, you can start the day with online training, or you can register to attend a live seminar. And you can also get free training for yourself and all the personnel of your agency by hosting a seminar at no cost. So come aboard as one of the most firearm knowledgeable people in the world by joining the folks at GunLearn.com. You'll be glad that you did. GunLearn.com. Check them out. All right, guys. Welcome back to the Leo Roundtable Law Enforcement Talk Show. We're still live from the Boss Hog Studios in Plant City, Florida. Any more commentary on what we talk? If there's not, we'll move on to our next story. And look, guys, for the stories for the video component, and there's a lot of them, we'll describe in great detail what's going on for our podcast and radio listeners. So we're still at rumble.com, back on This Is Butter. A driver dies when he drives off the freeway and is struck by a car when he fled a traffic stop in Colorado.
Stop. What are you doing in your car? Stop. You're gonna get tased.
Dude, stop.
You're gonna get tased.
Dude, stop. I'm gonna cigarette, bro.
Want a taser point? Get out of the car. 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 Quit digging in your pockets, dude. Stop. You're gonna get tased.
Stop, dude.
Stop. 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 Taser, taser. Taser deployed. Get out of the car. Get out of the car. Get out of the car.
Get out of the car!
Get out of the car! Now you're
gonna
get tased again!
Stop!
Get out of the car!
Get out of the car!
Never, whatever, six, he's...
Now, I hate to smile when I'm saying that, but it's really... I know, Andrea's shaking her head. She's trying to act like she's all... Her family's watching, so she doesn't want them to think she gets any enjoyment out of this bad guy getting creamed by a car, right? And Brett's just being, you know, stoic, you know, so... So video footage released on Tuesday of a traffic stop that led to the death of a fleeing suspect in which he was struck by a passing car. Guys, this is just unbelievable. And look, just for the people that know how this goes down, our live shows, we really, look, there's too many things that can go wrong when we try the show with live video. And of course, we've got a lot of radio and podcast listeners too. So producer Will takes our shows the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning, puts them on Rumble, and he embeds any videos that we talk about. Also puts pictures of the good guys and bad guys. So it's kind of a neat way to watch the show. So this show, 9 o'clock in the morning with embedded videos on Rumble tomorrow, will be there. So the Colorado State Police or Patrol, they released three video clips showing the early Thursday morning traffic stops. So a trooper stops a man who's driving westbound. And it's in the eastbound lanes of C-470. He's going towards Interstate 70. It's 1:50 in the morning, so it is early, almost 2 o'clock in the morning. During the stop, video shows the man tell the trooper that he's not going to get, that he's trying to get back to Blackhawk, but the roads were all messed up. And he's clarifying that he was talking about road construction. So the man was seen fidgeting with his pockets, demanding a cigarette, disregarding the orders from the trooper to stop his behavior. Trooper suspected that the guy's impaired. So while the trooper was trying to identify the driver, the suspect, he re-enters the vehicle, but look at this, he does it from the passenger side, but he climbs into the driver's seat, and I'm sure you can guess what happens at that point. The trooper, he ends up tasing the suspect, because he obviously wants to drive away, right? So the trooper tases the suspect, tries to prevent him from taking off. Now look, this dude, he locks up. I mean, he's like locked up, he does the full 5-second ride, right? But then he comes down off that 5-second ride, and I guess he removes the probes, and he takes off. So he drives down a grassy median, he hits a retaining wall, and then he gets on the the eastbound lanes for I-70 off-ramp, and it's just a mess. He then runs from the vehicle across the off-ramp, jumps over another concrete barrier onto an eastbound I-70 lane where he's hit and killed by a passenger vehicle that's driving by. He never saw it coming. So the driver of the vehicle that hit the suspect remained on the scene, and it shuts down the interstate for more than 5 hours on Thursday morning. So if you're driving around that area, now you know why. Suspect's name is not being released, but, you know, that body's at the morgue. Captain Brett.
And you can hear him getting hit. It's just the most horrendous crunch. Oh. And that's just the car being damaged. That's not him being damaged. I'll tell you, Chip, this was the worst handling of a suspect I've seen in a long time. It was horrible, horrible, horrible. It's almost to the point where when the family sees all this, you know, because you get sued for everything anyway, they could almost go, listen, we're going to sue you because you didn't do your job. I might, you know, I'll never go anywhere, but you see where I'm going with that. Just horrible. But you know what's so cool? The guy never lost his cool. Ask the guy a cigarette, man. Just need a cigarette. I just need a cigarette. I'm going to go get him. And the officer is yelling. The officer is giving, he's giving commands that are, what's the word of it? He's giving one command, they give another command. He's just not handling that guy. Sir, don't go near your car. I'm going to my car. Sir, you're under arrest. Put your hands behind your back. No, taser now. It went on entirely too long.
Yeah. I agree completely. I was sitting here watching this and I'm like, why does he not have him under control? Why did you not get the tag number? Like, why? So many whys on this. Like, how in the world do you have no information when that car drives off, first of all. And then I'm like, the entire time, he never got him under control. That bad guy was definitely, he was in charge of that call. And, you know, the officer never took command of the call. Never. I mean, like, I sat there, I felt a little bit better when at least his verbiage was like, oh, get your hands out of your pockets. Cause I'm like, what do you, when you first watch the video, I'm like, why are you letting him dig in his pockets? Why is this guy going back in the car? Like, stop telling him. You don't let him go back in the car. You know, again, granted, I know, you know, it's easier said than done because I'm sitting right here. But no, you're going to make him not go back in that car. You're going to make him, you know, sit there and comply. You're going to make sure that his hands don't go back in his pockets. I cannot believe, I mean, I would have just turned in my badge that day and been like, I'm done. That him getting hit by that car, that was it. Like, done. I think that guy felt it when I saw his face. Like, my career is done. I'm done. It was insane to me. This was insane.
Now, thanks, Andrew. Now, Brett, I usually associate troopers with being in the hierarchy of doing traffic stops. I mean, this is really what they do. They're really good at it normally. So I must admit, I was surprised it happened to a state patrol trooper that we watched this on.
Not really. I mean,
no,
troopers or cops, everybody, it's just the same thing. I don't know. You wear a badge. I don't know. But I was very disappointed. It should have been this. Hey, stop moving. Oh, you're not going to. Next thing we should have seen on the body camera was this guy getting a knee blast and a punch to the snot locker and be done with it. Should have grabbed him, threw him on the ground. And then if he fights, right on, you know, you punch him again, you taser him again. It's a whole lot of proof that criminals do not obey commands.
Well, I was even surprised at the backup officer when he got there that it wasn't like a different response. Like, he didn't just jump in right away. It was almost like he was delayed, like trying to figure out, like, okay, what am I seeing here? What's going on? But I was surprised. I don't know. You know, it just kind of hit me where I'm like, why are we not somehow, you know, communicating and getting this guy under control?
Yeah. Now, on the footage you don't see for the second offer is him talking to the camera going, I'm sure glad that wasn't me.
Yeah. Hey, what do you guys think about the lockup, the taser lockup for 5 seconds? I mean, there's no doubt.
It was effective initially. So why are we not coming up with, I mean, I know you got to think fast, but that's our job. Let's go. That was perfect. It worked. It was effective. You know, you don't always see the taser effective. It was effective.
Yeah.
You make something happen. You know, I don't know. It's just bad.
Well, maybe take the keys out of the ignition while the guy's locked up for 5 seconds. I don't know.
There are so many things that I was sitting there like, you could have done this. You could have done that. He should have already been in cuffs. I agree with Brett. I'm sitting there thinking this family is going to be like, if you would have gotten him in custody, this never would have happened. I hate to say that. Hate to put that, but I mean, I'm sure there's already an attorney on it. But if he would have gotten him in custody, this wouldn't have happened.
What the trooper should have been saying to himself as he's going to that car is, kill the head and the body will die. That's what he should be thinking right there. Grab that guy's head, because wherever the head goes, the body will follow. Right? Didn't they teach us this? Grab the head, twist the head, pull the head, and the body will follow. Kill the head and the body will die.
But you know, the funny thing was, is even when he was, you know, even when he was engaged, like when he had the hold of him, the guy wasn't steady. You know, to me, I sit there and think, I would use that. You know, the guy's not steady. Just take him to the ground. It wasn't a matter of he's real steady and he was fighting him, you know, real hard. It was just it didn't seem like the officer had his mind made up of what he wanted to do. Like, you don't have 2 seconds to sit there and, you know, hem and haw. Well, maybe I should do this. But see, I feel like that's kind of where law enforcement is going, is that officers are so hesitant that you get yourself into these situations where they're afraid to just, you know, go in, go hard, get him in custody. Brush him off, say sorry later.
He's probably exhausted from the 8-hour de-escalation training he got that day.
Probably so. That's probably true.
Wow, that's just brutal. You know, I've only got seconds, but policetribune.com, the woman who shot the mom of four through the front door has been arrested for manslaughter. That's the Ocala, Orlando area, close by the Boss Hog radio listening area. So that was Billy Woods. You know, so, and the lady was saying, you know, stand your ground law. So I guess they decided that it did not fit and they've arrested her. So we'll watch that case, see what goes on. Any surprises there? We got 10 seconds, guys.
Benjamin Crump is a race pimp. I cede the rest of my time.
Oh, that's pretty good. All right. excellent show, Andrea and Brett. Thank you guys so much. So, hey, at this point of the show, I usually talk about the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton from the Las Vegas Metro Police Department could not be on today's show, but he's got a great thing going at the Wounded Blue. They're helping cops out that are in a world of hurt, suffering from PTSD, medical issues that departments aren't covering, or maybe no medical retirement disability that's being offered. So the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. And, you know, Brett's not just another pretty face. He's got Exumber Defense Solutions at exumberdefense.com. You want to check out him, his training. He does everything from, he's got that K certification. So trains PIs, cops, LEOSA, all kinds of stuff. You know, that Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act, you know, the HR 218. So he does all that stuff for you guys. So check him out at exumberdefense.com.
Also, a shout out to Aero Precision. We've got Gauls, AFIregunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, and MyMedicare.live. Also, a shout out again to Brian Burns for the free press at TampaFP.com. And of course, we've got Red Voice Media at RedVoiceMedia.com.
Our streamers, thanks guys for your support and being with us through this YouTube fiasco. Hope everybody has a wonderful and a safe week.